You are listening to Grandpa Lempsheets on RadioArian.com.
Well, here it is, Tuesday once again. And the funny thing about Tuesday is it has no identity. You know what I mean? I mean, like, Monday is Monday. You dread Monday after the weekend. Wednesday is hump day. And Friday, it's thank goodness it's Friday. And you get to listen to Clown World in Review. If you haven't caught that yet, you need to do that. The Daily Nationalist, Sven Longshanks, and myself. We always try to have a lighthearted discussion. Those days have personality. Of course, the weekend is the weekend. Everybody likes the weekend. But what's Tuesday? I mean, it's just there, just lays out there on the calendar. You know, like a dead skunk in the road, except for one redeeming fact. That's right. The Church of the Lampshade Show. You get to look forward to Tuesdays because of this show. And voila, here we are. It's Tuesday. Church of the Lampshade coming your way. Installment number 26. Thank you for joining us this week. Thank you to the three folks who have decided to support our ongoing efforts to pay their tithes, as it were, at the Church of the Lamp Show. It really is very much appreciated. And if you want to be a part of that, that information is down at the bottom of the page here. Encourage you to do so. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We can do probably what other kind of trashy cryptocurrency you may have. You got some Litecoin or maybe even some Stellar Lumens you want to get rid of. Drop me an email. I'll get you an address for that. And you can send that way. I have no pride. I'll take Stellar Lumens. I don't care. Speaking of email, GrandpaLampshade1@gmail.com. Shoot me those questions, comments. If it's something I think a lot of people might be interested in or something, we'll use them on the show. We're kind of bringing that back. So don't be shy, even if we don't use it on the show. You'll probably hear back from me. I try to get back with everybody if I at all can. So don't be scared. Get on in there. Get on in here for the Church of Lampshade Show. Of course, the highlight of our show is our sermon at the, for our show. That's kind of like the center point. But before that, we sit around and we visit a little bit, just like in the old days. Everybody standing around outside church. You get there early to see who else came to town and visit about current events and things going on. And then we get in, the preacher comes out and scowls at everybody for smoking outside, whatever. And then you come in and you enjoy this week's message. So we'll get to that, of course. But let's get on into our visit this week. And like I say, glad you could all make it. And I've been reflecting, as always, on things going on. And of course, we're seeing the continuation of societal breakdown. We're seeing that all around. People sit there and say, well, when are we going to see? We ain't seen no societal breakdown. I'm like, do you not look at the internet? Do you not read? You can even tune in the narrative news. It's mostly bullshit and a lie. But I mean, you can see societal breakdown is happening. All of these things are not happening in a vacuum. Whether you look at, like, for instance, the big news the last couple of weeks has been these shootings, and whether they're false flags, which there's, I think, some credible things that point to that, or whether they're not, whether it's completely straight up what they're telling us they are. Either way, what we're looking at here is societal breakdown. The tensions between people, faith in institutions is crumbling. I mean, like the media, for instance, we sit here and talk about. I mean, I watch like 90 seconds of the news media usually in the morning just to get an idea of what the narrative is. I don't turn that in to see what is happening or what the truth is. I turn it in to see what the narrative, because that's what the media does. They're lazy. They don't do any. Well, I say they're lazy. Maybe they're not lazy. They have no motivation to get to any truth. They have no interest in truth. Their interest is in setting a narrative for you to consume. That's what they do. They set a narrative. That's what you're to consume. This is what you're supposed to believe today. I think it's partially a reflection of what they go to college. You know, they go to college, get a journalism degree. And it used to be you went to college and you learned how to think. You were taught, you know, how to think critically and look at different things. You were supposed to explore and expand your boundaries. That was the point of college. But now you go to college and they teach you what to think. They teach you what is good think and what is bad think, and they essentially program you. And so it's not really surprising you see these college-educated journalists go out here, and they set a narrative. This is what you're supposed to think. It's a reflection. They do that very thing. This is what you're supposed to think. This is what you're allowed to think, and this is the narrative. But what's easy to miss with all that is that it's a symptom of societal collapse. We're at a point now that you get more real journalism. I mean this. I'm not saying this is like over-the-top rhetoric. We're literally at a point now. You get more honest-to-goodness investigative journalism from random-ass people on the internet. That's where we are. I'm not trying to even be funny. It is a fact. You get more real journalism from random people on the internet. Now, are they wrong? Yeah, sometimes they're wrong because they can't get to, they don't have resources. They don't have, you know, a newsroom budget, an investigative journalism budget to back them up, to go where they can go out and like hire investigators and actually look into it. They have to sit at their computer and see what they can dig up. You know, now like, that Project Veteris or whatever it's called, you know, they actually do hidden camera work and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, all of these, they're random people on the internet, because all the media does is just set the narrative for the day. And so much of the written mainstream media, they all get the same printout from like the AP or Reuters, and they just reprint it. You know, you open up five different newspapers and it's the exact same article from Reuters or the AP. They just reprint. They're not doing any journalism. They're just repeating the narrative. But like I say, this too is a sign of societal breakdown. It's all around us. The media doesn't actually do journalism any longer. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. We've got, like I say, we've got these shootings, whether, and again, we can set aside whether they're false flags or real or whatever. And just because either way, these are symptoms of societal breakdown. You got people targeting one another, and you can feel. Have you ever been close to a lightning strike? I have. Believe it or not. And those who hate me are listening to this going, God, oh, where's the lightning? What a stroke, Grandpa Lampshade. But I've had lightning strike like within 20 feet of me one time. And let me tell you, you walk along and all of a sudden, you know how they say every hair on you stands up? Because if you ever seen those photographs where they have like a broad spectrum or whatever, and there's actually things that come up out of the ground, and that's what the lightning hits and grounds to. You know, you just see the lightning come down. But with the special imaging, you could see these like thread things come up off the ground, and that lightning's going to hit one of them thread things. Well, if you get struck by lightning, that means one of them thread things is sticking up off of you. Now, the hair standing up on you, yeah, that's technically right, but it's a whole different feeling. It's a feeling where you would just like freeze in your tracks. And it was weird because when this happened to me many, many years ago, it was basically like a clear day. There was like one little cloud up there. It was like one freak. The sun was shining. It was like one freak lightning strike. And I'm standing here, and all of a sudden it was just like, and it's just like you freeze. And then, boom, it is so loud. It just blows you away. It's so loud. There's this loud boom, you know, and then it lets you go. You know, because there happened to be something taller than me, about 20 foot away, made of metal, and there was one of them thread things up on it. And thankfully, the lightning struck that and didn't strike me. Well, anyway, there was sort of a point to that illustration. You can feel it. You can feel this in the air. You can feel, you can look around, you can see all of it. You can feel the tension. You can feel the tension in the air. You cut it with a knife. It's like everybody is on eggshells. Everybody's afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. Everybody's afraid they're going to stumble. Everybody, not, you know, I mean, everything is being so closely, you can't say this and you can't say that, and you don't know if somebody's going to, you know, you go to town to buy a dozen eggs and somebody's going to walk in and start shooting everybody, or you know, the institutions don't do what they do anymore. The churches, they don't preach the truth anymore. The media, they don't do journalism anymore. What the hell do we got going on as a society? It's breaking down. It's collapsing. The multicultural utopia, lo and behold, it's worked out whenever you've had a whole bunch of different cultures and races mixed together. Every other time in history, it doesn't work. It breaks down. You wind up with conflict. And it's all over the world. You know, Americans tend to think that America is the world. It's not. We see it in Europe. We see it all over Western Europe. Now, Eastern Europe, you know, people sit there and say, okay, well, if these other once upon a time white nations collapse on themselves and basically cease to exist. I mean, it's a real possibility. I'm not trying to be blackpilling, but I mean, nothing's for certain one way or the other. You know, they'll point to Eastern Europe. Well, you know, maybe Eastern Europe. Well, it depends on those countries. Will they be able to hold the line? Does the American empire collapse completely to where they can no longer exert the influence and push little countries to do their bidding? So in a way, the U.S. empire, America collapsing, in a way, it's a good thing. I mean, it's not a good thing if you're here because, you know, it means things get worse. But in a way, in a big picture way, it is good because your smaller Eastern European countries that so far are holding the line and maintaining their state as nations by having a homogenous people, you know, they'll be more likely to be able to hold that line if America can't bully them into accepting the globalist, if you would, the evil multicultural agenda to essentially commit national suicide by bringing all these other people into their countries. Isn't it amazing how they just openly push this? And of course, you're never supposed to question why they push this. They never tell us why. They never give us an actual reason. You ever notice that? They don't ever give you an actual reason of why they're pushing it. If you ask them, why do we have to take these people into our... It's your values. It's your values, Goyim. They never actually... They give you some vague thing about, well, diversity will be your strength or something. They don't give you like any concrete, real reasons why importing Somalians into your nation is going to make your nation any better. But so far, Eastern Europe has been able to hold the line for the most part. Will they be able to continue to? And that'll be the million-dollar question of whether or not they can continue to hold the line and maintain their sovereignty, maintain their state as nations. Asia, we look at Asia, and, you know, again, there's nothing guaranteed. Well, it comes down to, will they be able to hold the line? Everybody always points to birth rates. You know, birth rates in Japan are dismal. It is irrelevant. It is absolutely irrelevant. They're not going to run out of Japs. Okay, they're not going to run out of Japs. All that is relevant is whether Japan will hold the line against importing the rest of the world. That's all that matters. Their birth rates are irrelevant. Those things are cyclical. They will work themselves out if they will hold the line. Now, their corporations are probably going to push to destroy the country because they want to keep the cost of labor down. And what will happen is, as the old people die off and there's fewer laborers, and by laborers, I don't necessarily, it doesn't have to mean you're working in a factory. It can mean you're an office worker. You're still working for a living. You're working for wages. And if there's fewer of those people in the pool, it will drive the price of labor up. That's why you see a push. That's why the corporations are always in on this agenda here in America. Everything's free market as long as it means wages stay down. If it means wages go up, they're against that. Well, same thing. You look at Japan. If they hold the line and remain Japanese, they'll be fine. This is cyclical. They'll wind up with, you know, wages will get driven up because this is more or less how the cycle works out. You know, housing's ridiculously expensive and this and that, and people live stacked up. But as the older people die off, then wages will be driven up. And as wages are driven up, guess what? Well, then people can afford to have kids again. And then they will start having kids. And you'll wind up with a birth boom at some point, and it all starts all over again, you know. And so then that's all that matters. That is all the birth rate thing. I'm not saying, you know, because this applies to us as well. This applies to white nations as well. Everybody, we've got to get out there and start having white kids. That will happen if this other stuff gets taken care of. It's easy to sit here and say, well, you know, act like that is the one solution. I'm not saying it's not important, but acting as though that will somehow fix it, like you're going to out-reproduce the Middle East or Africa, is not going to happen. It's not realistic. All that matters is that you hold the line. And honestly, like you look at America, that's lost. There is no holding the line. America as a country, because it's not a nation, as a country, America crossed that line long ago. But if you look at a place, for instance, such as Japan, all that matters is if they hold the line. If they hold the line, don't start importing the rest of the world, they will be fine. The birth rate thing, that's cyclical. It will work itself out, and you'll wind up with people having more kids. I mean, there's more chaps alive today than there's ever been. Okay, you hear this hysteria about these things. And again, I'm not downplaying it, but you hear the hysteria, and it's like, oh my, you know, it's like you're going to run out of Japanese. There's more Japanese now than there's ever been. Granted, the average age of the population's higher because there's more old people. But guess what happens to old people? They're going to die off. And when they do, what? There's going to be more empty houses, which means housing will get cheaper. There's going to be fewer laborers, which means wages will go up if you hold the line. And when wages go up, well, then more people can afford to have kids, and you'll wind up with more kids. The cycle starts all over again. It's not all roses there either. I mean, as you know, one of the things I like to watch is Japanese anime, and I'm starting to see a push in a lot of these animes for multiculturalism and, you know, be the same kind of bullshit narrative that you see in Western nations. None of this is guaranteed. Now, I mean, right now it's like in these fantasy animes, and they talk about the evils of human supremacy. Yeah, the human supremacy. And it's like, you know, they don't say white supremacy because it's Japan. So they say human supremacy. It's a start. It's the camel's nose under the tent, as the Arabs would say. It's the beginning. I see them trying to nudge that foot in the door to get it into the minds of the people. Now, I guarantee, will Eastern Europe hold the line? Will Japan hold the line? Who knows? That's up to them. But like in America, I mean, it's done. I mean, they're already here. They've, in a lot of instances, they've been here for generations. We're just waiting to see what it all shakes out like. I don't understand when people try to talk about, you know, well, yeah, like you somehow have got to go out and cause it. You know, it's like, what we need to do is cause the society. It's happening now. The cars are, as I always say, the car's already over the cliff. We're just waiting to see who survives, who crawls out of the wreckage at the bottom. Societal collapse is already upon us. I mentioned one of the symptoms of societal collapse, these shootings. And again, there's a lot of, I think, very false flaggy things about these shootings, especially the El Paso one, but even the Dayton one. Of course, the Dayton one, they're treating like an afterthought because it winds up the guy, the alleged shooter, is like a Satanist Antifa supporter. So it's like El Paso, El Paso, El Paso, white supremacists. Also, this other white guy did a shooting in Dayton, and he had extremist views. What were those views? Well, you're just supposed to naturally make the connection. Oh, he must have been a white supremacist, too. Thankfully, most people, except for like old people, most people get their news from the internet. So that if they do like a teeny tiny bit of research, they'll find out that, no, this guy was allegedly an extreme leftist. But even setting that aside, you know, you see the politics is playing out like it always had. The Republicans are filling their role of giving the leftists whatever they want. You know, where are you, Mitch McConnell? Oh, God. Would you leave a child alone with a guy with a face like that? I wouldn't. Mitch McConnell. Well, when the Senate comes back, we'll be considering reasonable gun legislation. Why? Because the Democrats demand it. Why? Because there were these mass shootings. Did you have anything to do with that? No. Why are you somehow obligated? You didn't have anything to do with that. But this is the role. This is how the theater works out. Nobody stops and says, man, isn't it just a little bit? I mean, really, if you're a leftist, you have to admit, if you have any sort of conscience, don't you think it's kind of just shitty that, like, they haven't even buried everybody yet, and Team D is already out there using, exploiting this for political gain? You know, they're exploiting this to try to push some more legislation through, some more gun legislation. It's kind of amusing, isn't it, when we've had these Muslim terrorist attacks in the past, you know, and they say, you can't give in to bigotry. You cannot start judging these Muslims because then the terrorists win. Well, supposedly, like the El Paso shooter, and then they had the guy down in New Zealand. Supposedly, one of their motivations is they wanted the government to push for gun confiscation because that's going to kick off Civil War 2.0, whatever that's supposed to look like. And that was one of their supposed motivations. So isn't by pushing all of this gun control, isn't that giving the terrorists what they want? If you were applying any sort of logic here, aren't you giving the terrorists what they want? If you're talking, because Biden was coming out and saying, you know, yeah, we're talking about actually coming and taking your assault weapons away from you. Well, then you're talking about giving the terrorists what they want, because supposedly these alleged terrorists, supposedly that's what they wanted. So you're just going to give them what they want. Makes you kind of question it, doesn't it? That makes you question all of this and the timing of it and things such as that. Societal collapse. Biden. He thought he could run on Team D for the presidential nomination by sounding sane. Well, that's not working, so he's trying to sound just as insane as the other 20-something people. 20-something people standing up there on these debate stages and whatnot. Because their reasoning was, well, Trump's an extreme right, white supremacist, racist, neo-Nazi that wants to gas 6 trillion Jews. So extremism wins. So if we run extreme left, we'll win. That's basically, if you boil it down to its core, that's their reasoning here. So you have all these people running on the Team D ticket that sound insane. And Biden thought, well, I can win the primary by sounding sane. But no, because Democrat primary voters want insanity. They want communism. I mean, they just might as well stand up there. I'm just waiting for them to have one of these debates where the candidate just stands up there and reads points from the Communist Manifesto. read points from the Communist. That's going to be their platform. We're just going to adopt the Communist Manifesto, and that's going to be our platform. But again, it's all societal breakdown. It's all falling apart. The control is all falling apart. It's all, and as I said, that's not necessarily, I mean, it's an unpleasant thing, but in a big picture, the American empire collapsing is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it gives some of these other countries that are so far holding the line a better opportunity to do so. It'd be interesting to see what they do, what kind of legislation they finally push through on this. Right now, they're talking about background checks for all. Of course, I remember when they pushed the background checks for handguns. They said, no, we just want something reasonable. We just want background checks because so many people are being killed by handguns. That's all we want. Of course, we've seen the movie now over and over again. It's never enough. Now they're saying all, and of course they mean if you buy an assault weapon, well, everybody thinks, well, you know, if I go down here to the sporting goods store, and buy an AK-47, I'll have to get a background check. Well, I had to get one for my pistol, so it'll be okay. But they're missing that all part. Again, we haven't actually seen the legislation, so we don't know. But if it's all, that means if you sell it to your best, you got an old gun you've had for years and you sell it to your best friend, you're going to have to go down and background check him, or you may be running afoul of the law. We don't know how these things are going to be written. They're also, of course, pushing the red flag laws. We've been talking about this for a while. Red flag laws. They sound reasonable. Why, if you have a family member and you know he's mentally unstable and he just went out and bought a gun, you should have some way to stop him. And they tried to insert this into this El Paso narrative. Why, his mom had contacted the police. Because the way they tell the story is, well, his mom had contacted the police with concerns, and the police didn't do anything. This was definitely and they used the buzzword, red flag. It was a red flag. That way, when they talk about red flag laws, the programming will kick in. Red flag, good thing. Stop red flag. Yeah. You know, and, but yeah, it winds up, it turns out they got a hold of the police department. Police department's like, first the police department's like, yeah, no, we never talked to this lady. We have no record of that. And they acted like the police were basically like covering it up. Well, no, it turns out all she did was call the non-emergency number and was like, well, you know, she didn't give her name. She didn't give her son's name. She's just like, well, my son, you know, I just afraid he's not mature enough to own a weapon. He's this old. And they're like, well, how old is he? Where did he buy it? And she tells them, they're like, okay, well, does he have any kind of criminal background? No. Well, I mean, he can legally go buy one. He, I don't know. Encourage him to go to a gun safety course? I don't know. But yet they try to frame that narrative of there was red flags when there really wasn't a red flag here. They pushed those red flag laws. I don't remember who said it, but somebody said something along the lines of red flag laws will mean that the people that get you banned off of Facebook will be able to keep you from getting a gun. Sound over the top? I doubt it. It doesn't say it has to be a family member raising the red flag. Or you just get a bunch of leftists raising red flags about you and they can step, you no longer have a Second Amendment right? Just like you no longer have a First Amendment right on Twitter. They can get you shut down and banned off of social media. They can get you shut down and banned from buying guns. It's supposed to be a constitutional right. That's what we're told. And what do the Republicans do? They go right along. They play their role. They don't stand for anything. They play their role. Well, we have to give them something. Why? Why do you have to give them? Because we had this tragedy. They ought to come out with, like I say, they ought to dust off their, if we do this, the terrorists win line. Why don't they dust that one off? Because they're all in on the game. We all know it now. We all know they're all, we all know the Republicans have been in on the game. They play their role obediently. Then they all go to the same parties. They all go play golf together. They're all in on the game. It's all theater. And it's all societal collapse. Let's get on into this week's sermon in the Church of the Lampshade. And hopefully we can get to a good message this week. So get on in here. Y'all stood around outside long enough. Put your cigarettes out. Don't throw your butts on the ground. Let's get in here. Fill those pews. That's right. It's time for this week's sermon here in the Church of the Lampshade with the Reverend Lampshade. My official Church of the Lampshade attire on here. Get on in here. Fill those pews. We'll walk up here to the pulpit. Let's get to this week's really Christian-centered message here. The whole point of the show. The Christian-centered message here at the Church of the Lampshade. And as you settle in here, I thought we'd talk a little bit about, again, the world we see around us. The evil in the world we see around us. We spoke on a recent show about how the sinful nature of man in a lot of ways is more wicked than even the devil, than even Satan himself. And when you see wickedness in this world, it is a reflection of those that they serve, their father. And Jesus tells us time and time again, you know, if you believe in me, then you will do these works. You will do as I have done. And it'll be a reflection. I mean, you can't sit there and say, oh, well, I believe in Jesus and then go be like immersed in all of this wickedness because it's a contradiction. Your belief, your faith, it's reflected in your actions. It's not that you're saved through your actions. It's just that it will be reflected. And again, this is a work in progress. Don't be discouraged if you're not there yet. I'm not trying to discourage you. But you have to understand how there's like this reflection between the spiritual realm and you. If you are of the Lord, then by and large, it will be reflected. Now, a reflection is not a perfect image, like if you're looking directly at something, but it is a reflection. And likewise, it is for those who are of the devil, those who are of Satan. There is a reflection of their father and whom they serve. Have you ever noticed that the evildoers in this world don't create anything? All they do is destroy. Have you ever really noticed that? I mean, you look at what they do in institutions, in companies, or the modern cuck church. First, they infiltrate. They infiltrate, and they try to use people's naivety. They accuse them. Oh, well, you've got to let me in. You're supposed to be accepting of everyone, aren't you? It's something so tiring. You know, so many churches get subverted, have gotten subverted, because they'll sit there and let someone that the deep down inside, they know they're a lying enemy. And they'll let them in the gate anyway, because they'll say, well, you're supposed to accept me, aren't you? isn't that what Jesus told you to do? They know this person's completely insincere, and is wanting to bring destruction, turmoil, and strife. But they'll sit there and say, well, he got me there. I better let him in. No, you said, get the hell out of here. I don't care what you say. You don't know anything about the word of God. Yeah, you're lucky I don't smack you across the face on your way out. Get the deacons up there to kick his ass and throw him out in the street. No, you're not welcome here. That's what should have been done, but they didn't. They infiltrate their way in. It doesn't have to even be the modern countries. You can be an organization, be a company. You see it all around. They weed their way in. Then they start pushing their agenda. They weed their way into like a company. And they take the shitty positions that nobody wants, like human resources. They get in there, and then they start making sure that you're only hiring other shitlib leftists that want to destroy everything. Until they've got the whole place staffed with these people. And then they destroy the organization from within. They destroy the church from within. They don't go out and build their own church. They don't go out and build their own extreme leftist company, and we're going to show the light of truth to the world of how great leftism is by building this company founded on leftist principles, and it's going to be this roaring success. And when everybody sees it, they'll be like, I want to be like those guys. They don't create anything. They only destroy. Why? Because it's a reflection of their father, the devil. He doesn't create anything either. He just mocks. He just makes a mockery of things that are created and tries to destroy them. That's the way he wars against the Lord. That's the way he makes war against Christ. That's why he loves making men, getting men to degrade themselves, to destroy themselves, because man is supposed to be a creation of God, a reflection of God. That's your purpose in existence, is to be a reflection in this world of the Lord, of the Creator, God Almighty, who made you. And when he can make you like just completely act like a degenerate, completely just make yourself this disgusting mess, that is his way of making war against God. What I did with your creation, I destroyed it. He doesn't build things up. He destroys things. Now, we look at this degeneracy around us in this world, and we know that it's always one step to the next. You know, oh, we just want gays to be treated with dignity and respect. We want marriage. Bake the cake, bigot. We want access to children. This is step by step by step. We talked about this earlier in the show on other topics. We've seen this show before. We know it's never enough. What brought this to mind, as you might imagine, I have some time on my hands now, and I've started listening to some other shows. I know I've always said I don't listen to other shows because I don't want to, like, inadvertently use someone else's material, but I feel a little more free to do that now, because what we're doing here with this show is really, honestly, not bragging, but it's so unique that really other people aren't, you know, doing what we do here. So I don't think there's much worry of that. And, you know, credit to where it was. I was listening to the Nordic Frontier guys the other day on their gay show. The gay show talking about, of course, the homosexual agenda. And they're in Sweden. One of the parties wants to propose legislation where one of the parties is now supporting the removal of the age of consent for sex. Not lowering it, removing it completely. They said the age of consent in Sweden now, I believe they said, is 15. Here in America, it's 18. They want to remove that. Now, if you remove it, it means there's none. And this is going to get to the heart of what we're going to talk about today. Because, I mean, you get into gray line. I hear in America it's 18. Well, I mean, can you really, you know, when you talk about these things, you say, well, what about 17? You're in that gray area here. You know, you can sit there and argue. Like I said, they said the current age of consent in Sweden is 15. Well, here in America, you'd say, well, that's kind of low. You know, but could you really call, like, you look at some of these 16-year-olds, can you say, well, that's a child? I mean, 100 years ago, well, for instance, if you had a son and he was 16, 17 years old, he had his strength, he's old enough to work on the farm, he was treated like a man. He's expected to act like a man. And we've kind of extended childhood beyond its traditional definition. I'm not talking about that, because they're not talking about lowering. They're not saying, well, 15's too high. I think it's a pretty weak argument. They're saying 15. They want to remove it completely. They're not even saying step by step. Well, can we make it 14? They're saying remove it. So what are they saying? It always comes down to, with this degeneracy, whether it's the homosexual agenda or any of the rest of it, you look at these people who wield power. You know, they run around and say Pizzagate has been debunked, but it hasn't. That's a lie. It's never even been investigated except for what investigation could be done by random people on the internet who don't have investigative capabilities. Nobody else has looked into it. Like the FBI hasn't looked into Pizzagate. We're supposed to just believe that Podesta and all these people from the Clinton emails, they raised so much dust, they kicked so much dust in the air when all that happened. All we're supposed to hear is the Russians hacked the emails. Because you're not supposed to ask yourself, what is this that they're talking about? Were you supposed to believe that Podesta and all these other degenerates are just randomly discussing having pizza and pasta to enjoy? Were you supposed to believe that they were making all these well-documented pedophilia references, but they were actually talking about food? You know, you notice how the leftists always bend over backward to find dog whistles. That's a white supremacist dog whistle. But you have these people using well-documented pedophilic references, which is supposed to be they were just talking about enjoying Italian food. Never mind some of these disturbing images relating to some of these people that are circulating around. You're not supposed to notice that. It's the problem is the Russians hacked their email. Or something. When it comes down to it, it always comes down, when it comes to this agenda, it always comes down to these people want to have sex with little kids. Not teenagers, not somebody you say with 16, 17, that may be okay. No, they want to have sex with children. That's what it always comes down to. How else do you read this? You look somewhere, you've got places where these certain agendas have been pushed further. You've got areas where these agendas haven't been pushed as far. So you got, in a way, you have an ability to look into the future, where they're going with this. Not talking about removing the age of consent here in America, but they are in Sweden. Why? Because in that front, the country has been pushed a little further. So you can look into the future and see where they're heading with all of this. And again, don't come at me with, oh, they wouldn't go. Yes, they would. We know this. We know they do this step by step by step. They get what they want. They're used to getting what they want. If they want to remove the age of consent, they want to have sex with children. Why? Because they are destroyers. What is the most effective way to make a degenerate adult is you corrupt them when they're children. And God takes this very seriously. He really does, and it's spelled out in the scripture. We're going to get to our scripture reading here in just a minute, but I want you to understand, when you have a child, they're like if you bought a brand new computer and it really didn't have any programming on it. I mean, it had basic stuff, and you could turn it on and open it up. It has the basic stuff, but what you want this computer to do, say you want it to be a gaming computer, you want to use it to mix audio files, you have a dedicated purpose that you want this computer to do, and you've got to write the code yourself, and you're putting all of this different code in. Well, you've got an enemy that wants to sabotage you. The best thing he can do is get access to your computer and put in bad code. Children are like this. Children, you write the experiences they have in their lives. And some of the most of it, if you're a parent, you have the ability to write so much of that code. I mean, they're going to be exposed to other things. That's just life. You can't like control every single thing they're exposed to, but you do your best and you try to put good programming into them and try to limit the bad. Again, this is a fallen world. You can't make zero bad programming. It happens. You're not going to keep them from being exposed to that, but you try to limit that. But you've got these people, if they can get a hold of children and sexually abuse them, they have totally wrecked the code. You've got so many of these screwed up people. You know, all of these, you're starting to get this trickle of these child actors that got started like working on Disney shows, and now they're grown and they're all screwed up. Well, there's starting to be a trickle of information. They're starting to come out and say, yes, I was sexually abused. You want to make a screwed up adult? You want to make somebody destroy somebody? You get a hold of them as a child and you destroy them. You corrupt the programming to the point that it can't be undone. They're destroyers. It's what they do. Why? It's what their father does. If Satan fights against God by destroying, desecrating, degenerating, just defiling God's creation by getting you to do so, and forcing you by getting you to do so, what better way than to get a hold of children? You get a hold of children. You get a hold of children, you just virtually guarantee. It's like a nuclear strike. You're getting hold of children. Let's do our scripture reading. We want to show, drive home the point here. You know, that this is a very serious thing with the Lord. Let's look at Book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Don't be bringing your kids up here. We're doing serious stuff here. You know, I mean, the disciples weren't trying to be, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, people bringing their kids up here for the Lord to touch. We're trying to heal crippled people and do all these great things. People bringing kids up here. They rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now, again, people skip over this to get to what Jesus said. But when Jesus saw it, he saw the disciples rebuking him, shooing him off. Don't bring these kids up here. He was much displeased. I picture, you know, because in the modern church version of touchy-feely, nice Jesus, hippie Jesus, you know, he was much displeased. Now, don't you guys be doing that. I don't get that picture. I picture a horrible chill coming over the edge of the disciples. You're like, over here, you know, hey, we don't got time. Get your kids the heck out of here. Go on. Get out of here. And all of a sudden you feel this horrible chill over the air, like death could fall upon you at any minute. Like there is a sword being lifted up over your head. And a picture of pissed Jesus. Much displeased. Don't you just sit there and tell me it was like, oh, what's that? Oh, we're not supposed to do that. Oh, okay. Now, guys, don't be doing that. Let me tell you, I love kids. Let them over. No. He was much displeased. I think it was probably a terrifying thing. I do. They were doing the shooting. All of a sudden, before he said anything, I can picture this terrifying aura coming over everybody like, oh, shit. Uh-oh, what did we do? Pissed Jesus. He's mad. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Kids are a reflection in their own way of the kingdom of God. There's things that reflect God. There are things that reflect the kingdom of God in this world. You want to see the non-believer says, well, you don't have any proof of God. It's all around you. Look at the creation there. If you look for it, if you can open a spiritual mind to these things and open your heart up to these things, you will see them. The children are, for such is the kingdom of God. The innocence of the children. You know, they have this wonderful view of the world, you know, kids that haven't been corrupted. Children that haven't been dealt evil in this world. They have this innocent view. You know, children that are protected from the wickedness of this world and shielded from the things they should be shielded from. They have this wonderful view of the world. All they see is the open possibilities and the beauty, and they're just so full of life. You can see why the enemy wants to destroy that, such as the kingdom of God. You have to let go. When you enter the kingdom of God, you let go of all of that cynicism, all of that jadedness that being exposed to the things of the world, because you put those things behind you when you enter the kingdom of God, when that time comes. And that is a reflection in these children. They're not burdened by these things. For if such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Say, read that again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Now, he's not saying you have to believe in Jesus as a kid, otherwise you're out. That's not what he's saying. You have to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Why? What's he talking about here? Children have faith. When children have been protected and raised right and shielded from the things of this world, you see all of this innocence, you see this view of the possibilities, but they also have faith. When a child is scared and the parent tells them it's going to be all right, you know, well, they may be still scared, but they have faith that it's going to be okay because you told them that. And you tell them, hey, you know, we're going to go on vacation and go to the coast next week. You know, they have faith that it's actually going to happen. They don't sit there and go, we're not really going to go to the coast. We're not really going to be. Well, I mean, if you lie to your kids all the time, then yeah, they may do that. But if you don't, then they're going to have faith that next week we're going to go. We're going to pack up. We're going to take a trip. We're going to go to the coast. Now, that trip may be a lot longer than they think it is, you know, and an hour later, they're like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That, too, is a reflection of your journey to the kingdom of God. But they have the faith that you are going to the coast. You're not on that ride and they're sitting there going, are we really actually going to the North Pole? No, they have faith that you're going to the coast. Now, they may be impatient. Are we there yet? Are we there like that? We're like that. As believers, you know, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You coming back yet? You gonna throw these people into hell yet? Come on, I'm ready. I'm ready to see some of these people go to hell. We're like that, though. We're impatient, but we have the faith, or we strive to have the faith that we are going to make it. We are going to the kingdom of God. Jesus meant what he said. We're going to the coast. You see, it's a reflection. And the children, let's grab another Bible verse here. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Those who bring these wickedness, these things, those who's caused, if it were better for him that a millstone be hanged from his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Jesus takes this, these offenses against children very seriously. Very seriously. It is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Imagine the terror of having a millstone tied around, a big heavy rock, a chain put around your neck and thrown in the sea. Man, I mean, I guess it wouldn't last more than 3 minutes, but it would be 3 minutes of terror. It would be better. That terror is nothing. That terror is nothing compared to what is waiting of those who corrupt the children and cause them to sin, who make a degenerated, disgusting, defiled adult by attacking them as children. Now, he's not talking about Satan here. I mean, Satan's fate's already, that's already sealed. He's talking about people. People through whom do these things. The worst of condemnations is coming for these people. These destroyers who don't come after people as adults. That's bad enough. You go after the people of God who are adults, because Jesus warned that which you do unto them, you've also done unto me. But there is a special, there's a special treatment for those who go the extra low route and destroy children, that destroy an adult by getting to them before they even have a chance. When they're still full of the innocence reflected of the kingdom of God, and destroy that, sexually abuse them, fill them full of degeneracy when they have no, they're fill them full of bad programming so that when they're an adult, and even if they're an adult, and even if they're trying, they're going to have this huge struggle now because they have the bad coding. It's there. It can't be undone. They can try to overcome it. They can try to, and by all means, you think of the struggle for somebody who's had this happen to them. And as an adult, they're trying to overcome it. Really, I mean, it's like, again, to go back to our computer analogy, you've got a computer, and if that computer had self-will and it's trying to do its proper job as a gaming computer, but it has all these viruses on it, and you, there's no way, because you don't have the ability to wipe the computer off and start all over again. So now you have no way of removing the virus. So you've got a person now that is stuck trying to live their life in the best way they possibly can. But they have a virus. They've got bad programming now, and it's going to be that much more difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but they have such a much more difficult time. They were sabotaged before they ever got a chance to start. I mean, look at homosexuality. It's if genetics being what they are, it's impossible for it to exist. Because they can't reproduce. I mean, it's literally impossible. I mean, they can sit here and try to, manipulate things, you know, scientifically. But in the end, it's impossible for them to reproduce. And yet we have them. If they can't reproduce, then genetically they should just not exist, because they would just take themselves out of the gene pool. You got to reproduce by having, we don't need to spell it out. It's not. Two women are not going to reproduce by sticking phallus-shaped objects in one another. That's not going to reproduce. That's not going to produce children. Same with men. Two men together humping each other is not going to produce a child. It's not. But yet they exist. But yet, genetically speaking, they shouldn't. So how do they reproduce? For so many of them, it goes back to when they were kids and someone exposed them to that on some level or another as a child. Or as somebody in their early teens. This is the big ugly thing, is they run around with this gay pride crap. You know, there's Pride Day and Pride Week, Pride Month. What exactly are they being prideful of? They're being prideful of the fact that so many of these people got started down this road because they were molested, sexually abused as children. Notice how they try to hide the pedophile stripe. You know, they try to have the rainbow flag without the black pedophile stripe. Yet in some cases, people snap shots where they have that. We all know it's part of the agenda. When it comes down to it, they want to have sex with children, because they destroy people more completely that way. You get to somebody and screw them up as an adult, it may be difficult, but they can overcome it. Yeah, it's much more difficult for somebody when you get to the core programming of who they are, which is placed in there when they are a child, and you screw that up. That's a lot more difficult for somebody to overcome. And again, if you're listening to this and you have had this happen to you, I'm not telling you it's impossible. I'm not sitting here telling you, don't bother trying. I'm just saying, look, we understand that you've got a tough road. You've got a tough time. God understands that. Christ understands that. Just keep struggling forward. Yes, you've got things to deal with that other people don't. It's just how it is. That's your lot in life. Remember your faith, this journey through life. It's a marathon. It's a journey that you get. And as long as you don't give up. You know, you see these marathons and, they show the first person that gets across the line, but then sometimes they'll show like that last guy, you know, it would be me. It'd be me trying to run a marathon at my age and in the, trying to run the marathon. And it's that last guy that comes across, you know, it's like everybody is left, and except for the people that have to stand there and hold the tape thing across there. And they're like, oh God, come on. Come on. Everybody else has gone home. It's after dark. There's people standing out there with flashlights, and they're all waiting for this one out of shape. They're all waiting for this one out of shape guy to get over and finally trot his ass across the finish line. You know, it's like the winner finished the marathon in 1 hour and 34 seconds. And it's like 6 hours later, here comes this guy. And he trudges across the finish line, but he finished. Now you sit here and make light of it. He finished. He didn't drop out. Nobody holds the tape for the guy who halfway through it said, piss on this, I'm going home. It's hot out here. He still finished the marathon. Didn't get there first. He finished it. When somebody says, have you ever completed the Boston Marathon? Yeah, I ran the Boston Marathon. I completed it. You completed it. That is your journey in faith. It's not how quick you rush there. It's completing. It's not giving up. And yes, if you've been exposed to these things as a child, you've got more to overcome in a lot of ways than other people. Just don't give up. Just keep going after it each day. You can't, what's happened's happened. You don't have any control over that, but you have control over the choices that you make today. And every day that you choose to try to live the most upright way that you can is repentance and it is faith. What are we told in the scripture? Faith is credited as righteousness. Faith and deeds, hand in hand. Each day, it's a day-by-day thing. Just isn't a marathon. It's a step-by-step thing. Getting back to what we're talking about. They want access. They want to do this to children. Not because they think kids enjoy it. Come on. Some of them try to act like this. Yeah, and they will get to where that'll be the narrative. If they're successful in pushing this forward, and because I've seen where some of them now quietly are starting to say that, well, who are we to judge at what age a person can start exploring their sexuality and start enjoying these things? Really? That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to, at some point, if they continue down this road, they're going to try to tell you that a six-year-old is going to enjoy sex with you because that's what they always come down. That comes down to their agenda because it's the most complete way to destroy a person. Get to the children. Why? Because they are a reflection of their father, the devil. They do his works. He's at work by getting people by trying to make war against God through his creation, man. And they are a reflection of that. Boy, if they can get to the kids. If they can get to the kids, that'll really piss Jesus off. That'll get him. And the most horrible of terrors awaits them. But not right now. They're in this fallen world. They run around and act like that's why you see a lot of these people, I think, these corrupt and wicked people. You notice as they get older, they get like more desperate in their actions. The more they cling to money, the more they cling to power, they cling to these things. And they almost in a way that's frantic. You know, you see these rich and powerful people and you look at them and they're still like desperately clinging to power and clinging. It's like no matter how much money, it's not enough. And they're grabbing more and more and they're more and more greedy. You know, they're like billionaires and they're probably stiffing the waitress on her tip. You know, there's nothing. It's never enough. And I've got to. And you're sitting there, you're going like, how does this make any sense? You've got more money than you or your kids or your grandkids will ever be able to spend in their entire lives. You're old now. Why don't you just enjoy what little bit is left of your life? And that is the point. They're aware on some level or another that there's not much left of their life. And the toll is fixing to be due. The bill's fixing to show up. And it's going to have to be paid in full. And so now, on a subconscious, on a spiritual level, even though they don't probably ascribe to any spirituality, now they're starting to get frantic. They don't even know why. They're starting to get frantic. They're running around. They're trying to cling to power. They're trying to cling to money. They're trying to cling to something that will save them from the judgment that is coming their way. They've had their way. They've done these wicked, despicable things. They've tried to destroy nations. They've tried to destroy people. They have destroyed, probably in many cases, they've destroyed children. Now the bill's coming due. On a spiritual level, they don't even know. Like I say, they just think that, well, I'm just doing this because whatever rationale they can give themselves because they refuse the spiritual nature and their spirit is frantically running around going, we're fixing to go to hell. I'm fixing to go to hell here. And the, you know, I did all this stuff. I ran up the credit card and now the bill's fixing to be due and I don't want to pay that. And there's no bankruptcy filing. So they try to cling to these worldly things as though it's somehow going to keep them from judgment and destruction. But it won't. The bill will come due and the price will be paid. We're going to wrap up on that note, folks. Hope you enjoyed this week's show, this week's sermon. And keep the faith, keep moving forward. Don't get discouraged. Again, it's a marathon. You just got to finish. You've got to finish. Yes, it's great when somebody gets over the line sooner, but you finish. And as long as you're alive and breathing on this earth, you're running that race. You're running the race until you cross the tape, stretch across. It doesn't matter if it's in the dark. It doesn't matter if it's the next day and people are standing there. It doesn't matter. You just have to finish the race day by day, step by step. We'll be back next Tuesday. Be sure and catch us on the Daily Nationalist show for Friday. I'll join Sid and Longshanks, Clown World in Review. It's a lot lighter than the show is, so we have a little fun. We always try to end the week on a light note, so be sure and check that out. It's a fun one. Again, the one from last Friday was I think, exceptionally lulzy. I encourage you to check it out. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for those who are financially supporting the show. I really do appreciate it. I don't always get a chance to personally thank you, but I thank you now. I really do. I appreciate it. I read all your notes. I read your letters. And I pray for you. I do. I hope that God will bless you as you're blessing me. I really do. So, I appreciate that. Y'all stay safe out there. Keep the faith. We'll be back next week. We'll see you right here in the Church of the Lampshade.